We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and John Junkin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've heard, we welcome John Junkin back as our guest this week to pit his wits against our three regular players of the game. And once again, they will try and talk, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. We'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And as I've said before, who better? Kenneth, the subject is getting a shock. And there are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I had the most appalling shock when I endeavoured to remove from a wall the first flat I ever had. As a matter of fact, going back a few years now, electric fire. Well, you see, my hands touch these wires. Little did I know you're supposed to have rubber gloves or something and a special screwdriver, because you've got to be earthed. I wasn't earthed.
Challenge.
Repetition of Earth.
Yes, you were not earthed indeed. And so, Clement, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is getting a shock, and there are 34 seconds starting now.
I think the most significant shock I've ever had was when the Speaker of the House of Commons approached me and said, "You have not got a dukedom in the New Year's Honours list." I was astonished. It was something which I had had reason to believe. I said had, but I say had again.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Being so honest.
Self-confessed repeater.
I know. Isn't he honest? So, Derek, you take over the subject, and a point for that, of course. 16 seconds are left. Getting a shock, starting now.
Some few years ago, I was in Johannesburg, and a party of recruits had been brought in to work in the gold mines, and they had come from the more distant areas of Africa, and they were trying to explain to them the difficulties...
John Junkin challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree, John. So, 5 seconds to go, starting now.
Getting a shock entails some such thing as a bucket of water being thrown over one unexpectedly.
The whistle went as the buzzer went, but the whistle wins out. And this week it is blown once again by Sandra Pronger, who is deputising for Ian Messiter, who can't be with us. It also tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment has an extra point. It was our guest, John Junkin. So at the end of that round, he's equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, will you take the next round? The subject, interesting parties. Will you tell us something about those in the game starting now?
I was once asked to the most interesting party by Sandra Pronger. It was held above a little shop in Soho, and you had to press a button labeled 33. She took me upstairs and asked me to meet her friends, one of whom was the local vicar. And I was so intrigued that this dear, sweet lady, who I'd seen nestling in the arms of David Hatch, our producer, for so many years, not only had ecclesiastical connections, but also access to the aforementioned room so high above one of the more disreputable areas of the great city in which I live. But she was quite at home there. And what was so fascinating to me was she opened the door at the far corner of the room and led me along a
Clement Freud is charged.
Repetition of room.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I wanted to hear more about that. And so did Sandra Pronger, too. Fiction all the way. There are 5 seconds with you, Clement, on the subject of interesting parties, starting now.
Women who are easily the best other sex I know are pretty important when it comes to...
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud got the extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now in the lead. And Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject, dealing. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Dealing needs a pack of cards, ideally, if you want to satisfy the punters. And if you deal twice It's called double dealing, which is quite different and also illegal. Ace, king, queen, jack, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, hearts, spades, clubs, diamonds are just some of the words that you would hear at a party in which playing cards are on show.
John Junkin has challenged.
Repetition of playing cards.
No, cards before. Playing hyphen cards, second time.
Oh, we're not
going
to wriggle out of it like
word
that.
In the English language.
Yes. No, John, you're right. You have a correct challenge there. And anyway, you've got well away from dealing. You were talking about cards, though I know there's a connection. John, you have 32 seconds on dealing, starting now.
Dealing also means purveying. One can be a dealer in wood, or in groceries, or fruit, or meat.
And Clement Freud has
challenged. That's four oars.
Yes, I... Not a healthy thing in just a minute or any time. And so you take the subject back again with 23 seconds dealing starting now.
On the stock market in the City of London, you will find a substantial number of dealers whose involvement in finance and speculation is expert, second to almost none except operatives on Wall Street, who also deal in commodities as well as stocks, shares, and equities of a very wide, or you may call it, Catholic nature. British Petroleum...
So Clement Freud then cleverly kept going till the whistle, gained an extra point, increased his lead, and John, your turn to begin the subject, bricklaying, starting now.
Starting whenever you like, bricklaying is a subject about which I know less than nothing. I have seen it demonstrated, and I can only describe the method used by the gentleman who I presume was called a bricklayer. He took a brick in his hand and placed it with great care upon a bed of wet cement. He then took another, which he placed beside the first one, added some more of this strange lubricious mixture, which he tapped into place with a trowel, and then, taking a spirit level, he placed them across these two...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Position of placed.
Yes, you were placing. You had to. You had to build this ruddy wall. I mean.
If you don't know anything about it, you're a bit desperate.
I know. I think you started off something which eventually you had to trip yourself up on, John, but you kept going for good time, and 35 seconds, in fact. So there... are 25 left for you, Derek, on bricklaying, starting now.
I must confess that, like John Junkin, I am to the world of bricklaying what Dan and Rue is to sheet metal welding. But I have lots of times observed people bricklaying with great fascination, was tremendously encouraged to know and to learn, indeed, many years ago, that Winston Churchill was a most devoted bricklayer. Round about Chartwell, he put one brick upon another and constructed walls of amazing beauty.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo moved forward, but he's still in second place. John Junk in third, Kenneth in fourth, and Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, rhinoceros. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, this is a pachydermological. The idea of this sort of quadruped, which is horned in the nose with the thick layers of the skin that hangs all over the body, rather like certain people I've seen who've got on in years and it's all there in pleats, so to speak, looking rather sad. Those creatures, when you see them in Africa, and of course we must remember that some of them are in the South Asia area as well, are a most delightful sight because to a certain extent there are zoologists who will tell you they are in danger of becoming extinct. And like the other pachyderm, the elephant, they won't be seen in the sort of profusion we've been used to in days of yore. What a shame that those little eyes, almost pig-like, as they gaze at you, and especially when they charge.
Oh, a well-deserved round of applause. First time for a while someone started with a subject and finished with it. It was the indomitable Kenneth Williams with rhinoceros. So, Kenneth, a point for speaking as a whistle went, a point for not being interrupted. And you're still in fourth place, I'm afraid. We did enjoy it. Derek Nimmer, your turn to begin. The subject is bats, Derek. There are 60 seconds, starting now.
When the Maoris followed the cuckoo to the land of the long white cloud, the only mammals extant upon that island of New Zealand were two marsupial bats, which, of course, you know, means that the babies will drop on the ground and crawl up the legs into the little pouch that is therefore providing they used to fly away with these bats across the two islands of the country that I was telling you about. But recently, when I was in Bangkok, I went to the most interesting restaurant where the speciality of the house was a whole cage of bats. And they hung upside down, and you went along as though you were choosing trout and said, I would like that one. They'd spread them out by the wing, they slit their throat, and they caught all the blood in a little glass, and you drank it.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition a little.
I know. It was horrid, too, wasn't it? So, you're right, Clement, and there are 13 seconds on bats with you starting now.
I think it's only correct to say that none of my best friends are bats. All the people I know are extraordinarily intelligent, some even wise.
Kenneth Williams.
Rubbish, you know, Nicholas Parsons.
Why are you clapping? You rotten audience. Will you take their names at the back and see they don't get in again? Right. Kenneth, you have the subject. I am bats, and there are 2 seconds on the subject starting now.
They're made of willow, and they're used on the English cricket pitch.
So, Kenneth Williams, speaking as the whistle wind, gained that extra point, and he's now in second place alongside Derek Nimmo. And Clement Freud's in the lead, and it's his turn to begin, and the subject is making exotic bread, starting now.
If you want any flotsam, I've got some. If you want any jetsam, I can get some.
John Junkin has challenged.
Deviation.
What's that got to do with exotic bread?
Flotsam and jetsam are things that are either thrown or float off ships, and I don't see much exotic bread floating about.
Well, probably, knowing Clement Freud, he was going to find some way of making exotic bread out of them. I know that's the way his mind works. But he actually hadn't established it, and he had been going for 6 seconds. So we'll give you the subject, John, and there are 54 seconds left, starting now.
Making exotic bread is something about which Clement Freud is far more qualified to speak than I am. However, if I were given the task of making exotic bread, I think the first thing I would do would be to gather before me my ingredients. I would possibly use sunflower oil, the wool from virgin sheep, droppings.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Before droppings.
Thank you, Derek.
Yes. Well, after the virgin sheep, I'm not surprised. There are 33 seconds for you, Derek, on making exotic bread, starting now.
I suppose it really depends where you're eating the bread, whether it is actually exotic.
And Clement Freud is challenged. Yes, Clement.
Hesitation.
The subject's back with you with 30 seconds on making exotic bread, starting now.
Flour, yeast, salt, sugar, butter and water are clearly things that you would not put into exotic bread because they would be ordinary and are ingredients.
Derek Nimmo, yes, I think so,
yes.
Derek. 20
yeah,
seconds.
I think so,
19 and a half, actually. Making exotic bread starting now.
If, for instance, you got a sliced loaf in Kashmir, that would be extremely exotic. On the other hand, if you found yourself devouring.
Kenneth Wilson.
I've had a sliced loaf in Kashmir and it wasn't at all exotic. Just tasted like a bit of bread, that's all. What's he on about? Exotic in Kashmir. A load of rubbish.
I agree with you, Kenneth. I don't think sliced bread is exotic anywhere.
No, quite right. Well, I knew he wouldn't put the wool over your eyes. I knew he wouldn't get to you. Don't worry yourself, dear. Oh, yes.
Right, I'm bright again, am I?
Right, you've been in those climes yourself, haven't you?
Whenever I agree with him, I'm very intelligent, and if I don't, I'm bats.
Right.
Kenneth, you have the subject. There are 13 seconds on making exotic bread starting now.
You do it with those delightful things and curiously aromatic called sesame seeds. And they contain the most potent ingredient you can imagine because they're aphrodisiac.
So, Kenneth, speaking as the whistle wind, gained another point. So, So overcome with excitement, he squeezed Clement Freud, for the listeners have wondered why our audience was laughing, and he's in second place alongside Derek Nimmer. They're only 3 points behind our leader, Clement Freud. John Junkin is trailing, only two behind our second place, and he begins the next round. The subject, John, is mixing a drink. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I think the favourite drink that I have ever mixed is a Bloody Mary, if I am permitted to say that on the BBC on Radio 4. The ingredients contained therein are tomato juice, vodka, celery salt, Tabasco sauce, ice, and a small prayer which was taught to me by a Tibetan Lama whose life I saved in the Himalayas. The method of mixing the drink is as follows. A glass is placed before one, and into it are put the ingredients that I have already...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of ingredients.
You did say ingredients before, I'm afraid, John. So, Clement picked you up, and he has another point, and there are 27 seconds mixing a drink, Clement, starting now.
I've always been very interested in mixing drinks which are aphrodisiac, because oysters don't work, and semolina pudding, quite clearly, is food rather than liquid. So, pineapple juice and aromatic herbs mixed with hock and moselle, crushed ice...
Derek Nimmo,
Station.
Yes, I think so, Derek. So you have 9 seconds on mixing a drink, starting now.
I think one of the great art forms of the world is to watch a New York barman mix a Manhattan or a sidecar. He talks to, while he is mixing the drink, pouring the ingredients into the shaker, tosses around, and...
So the situation is exactly the same at the end of that round. They've all got more points, and Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is déjà vu. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I well recall a review being staged with this title at a theatre not so far from here, with an old favourite, Sheila Hancock, in it, and young George Cole. A delightful pair they made, and the title, of course, an affectionate view at the past, through rose-tinted, shall we say, spectacles, so that we recreate a delicious memento of the past-ish... not the past... I was going to say past-ish.
I know.
I meant past-ish.
I know.
I meant, you see.
Didn't matter what you said. That school over there would have had you as their mascot any time. Kenneth, you kept going for 35 seconds. Well done. Bad luck. John Junkin, the correct challenge, 25 for you on déjà vu, starting now.
It's French, I understand. I don't speak the language myself, but I believe it means it has been seen before and is experienced occasionally by people interested in...
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, and it's Derek Nimmer with the subject and 13 seconds déjà vu, starting now.
I once went to a house in Northamptonshire to which, to my knowledge, I'd never been before, and I had this extraordinary feeling of déjà vu.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of my.
Well, it's a bit nitpicking, but all right, there we are. You did say my, and I've got to be fair and say it's correct, and so you take the subject, Clement, and 7.5 seconds déjà vu, starting now.
This is a French term meaning already seen, and I'm glad that people listen with care, because John Junkin had a quite...
John Junkin challenged.
Hesitation. John Junkin...
He didn't really hesitate. I'd like to agree with you, John, because he's trying to get
well,
at you.
Well, agree with me, go on.
I know, live it's all getting ridiculous, isn't it? So, Clement, you continue with 0.5 seconds on déjà vu, starting now. And John Junkin, you got in that time on hesitation. Well done. So you have 0.5 seconds on déjà vu, starting now.
Déjà vu.
So you see how sporting they can be when they're under pressure. And it's very even. Kenneth Williams, 1 point behind John Junkin. John, 2 points behind Derek Nimmo. And he's two behind our leader, Clement Freud. Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, microchips. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Sorry.
Hesitation. Definite hesitation. I could see it. I could feel that, you know. You could see it, couldn't you?
It's my turn, was it? I'm so sorry.
Yes, it's your turn to begin.
Oh, well,
no, it's not his turn. I've got it. I've got him on hesitation.
Let me just establish something. Excuse me. Is your name Derek Nimmo?
Sorry?
Is your name Derek Nimmo?
Yes, I'm afraid to admit.
And is that your usual voice?
And have you played the game before?
And is that your own hair, or is it a wig?
If you can answer yes to all those questions, Kenneth Williams has a correct challenge. So, Kenneth, you take over microchips with 59 seconds starting now.
These are chips you eat at the microphone, and people do not welcome your doing so. In fact, one of the chief sound engineers in this very building today said to me, all this fat and rubbish that they're throwing into the microphone because they're eating their chips around it.
Kenneth Freud challenge.
Repetition of microphone.
Yes, I'm afraid you said the microphone before, Kenneth. So Clement has a correct challenge, and the subject is microchips, and there are 44 seconds starting now.
This is very much the industry of the future, and I wish this government would realise that while there's £4,000,000,000 of North Sea oil revenue, all of which is being used to finance unemployment, it is the microchip business which should be the recipient of such bountiful finance. There are machines and all sorts of domestic appliance which needs no more than a microchip to free a woman from housework and get out...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation, we've now gone on to a great political diatribe about the status of the woman in the home. I mean, the microchip's nothing to do with that. I mean, we're into some great political... He's trying to... Propaganda is what he's indulging in. I mean, he's not enlightening us at all. I was being enlightening about chips round the microphone, which I thought was quite nice, you know. I thought it had a nice touch of domesticity almost, you see. But I don't think he is. He's devious. It's nothing to do with microchips.
I think what you said is utterly devious.
Yes. The position of the woman in the home. It's exactly where she should be. I mean, ridiculous.
Kenneth, you made your point, and it was completely incorrect, but we love hearing all about it. So Clement continues with 13 seconds on microchips starting now.
There are some very interesting children's games which, with the help of microchips, allow infants, juveniles, and all people under the age of 14 to have enormous fun by pressing buttons, being given a question, quite often getting an answer which may even be correct.
So Clement, with the subject of microchips, kept going till the whistle went, and gained the extra point, has increased his lead, and he's just ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams and John Junkin are equal in third place. And we start the last round with Clement Freud beginning. And the subject, what the well-dressed man wears in bed. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
The well-dressed man wears nothing in bed.
Kenneth Williams has chance.
That's ridiculous. How can he be dressed if he's got nothing on? I mean, it says dressed, doesn't it? On the card, it says dressed.
That's right.
Well, how can he be dressed?
All right, don't go on,
Kenneth. If he's got nothing on.
I agree with your very good challenge. So you take...
That's a silly challenge to agree
with. Don't say that my challenges are silly. How dare you? I've come all the way from Great Portland Street to be in this game. No, I'm not going to be insulted.
I agree with Kenneth. It's the well-dressed man. You talked about the well-undressed man.
No.
You talked about a naked man.
But when a well-dressed man goes to bed, it's surely up to him whether he wishes to be well-dressed in bed or naked in bed.
Ah, the subject is the well-dressed, what the well-dressed man wears in bed. And you say...
Wears, you great fool. Wears! And you can't wear nothing! What a... Oh, it makes you so angry, doesn't it? Oh, my temper, you know, I get so... My nerves get so frayed on this.
You've
so nothing
point,
is
Kenneth.
A perfectly adequate answer.
Yes, it was, and Kenneth's made his point, and he takes the subject with 56 seconds on what the well-dressed man wears in bed, starting now.
I'm glad I have the opportunity to address you on this subject, because, believe me, I know a bit about it. And you can't beat your shot silk or your poplin, not to mention the South Sea Isle cotton. That is deliciosa against the flesh and really brings you on. I have had some of the most beautiful dreams lying there with my feather down pillow, of course, adjacent, and these garments have given me profound pleasure, not to mention the sensuous nature of actually caressing both the material and the surroundings.
John Junkin has had the temerity to challenge. John.
This is unsuitable for children and people of a nervous disposition.
Half our audience are on the floor already. And some of them are not together. The
So what is your other challenge?
I haven't got one. I'm just frightened to death.
Deviation from...
I suppose
from the,
so,
from
yeah.
the yes. He was talking about his sensuousness rather than the well-dressed man, yes. And who said you were the well-dressed man anyway?
It was a great shame because in the army I was forced to revert to this terrible flannel nightshirt. I hate it. Oh, man, you itch. You know that awful itch feeling. And rough blankets instead of lovely sheets, of course. You see, there in the barrack room, we didn't have lovely sheets
Kenneth,
at all.
We'd all love to hear from you further on this subject, but I have to be fair
with
you.
Well, there are things I would have said had I been allowed to keep the subject, which I should have been allowed to, of course.
Well,
you
after
see.
We finish the game, as this is the last subject, we'll keep half the audience to stay and they can tell you more about your sensuous experiences in bed. So, John Junkin, our guest, you take over the subject with 10.5 seconds, what the well-dressed man wears in bed, starting now.
The well-dressed man would normally, in bed, wear, made of pure silk, either a pair of hand-tailored pyjamas or else a nightgown with a crest bearing his initials.
So, as I said a little while ago, this would be the last round. We've now reached the end of it. John Junkin got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and so to give you the final score, an interesting result. Kenneth Williams, Derek Nemo, and John Junkin, our guest, all finished in second place, but they were 5 points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and our thanks again to Sandra Pronger, who stepped in to help by blowing the whistle and keeping the score. And we want you to tune in again next week when once again we will take to the air and we will play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.